Okay, so I'm going to be talking to you about the methodology that we used to develop the grades or adapt the CDC obesity prevention guidelines. I'm going to really briefly go over some background information because it's basically the same that Dr. Rimmer presented, and then I'll get into the purpose of our research and then the methodology and kind of where we're going. I have no relationships to disclose. So we all know that obesity really is a public health issue, but when we talk about people with disabilities, the issue is much more critical. So specifically when we look at children and adults, in children, the obesity rates are almost 40% higher, and in adults, almost 60% higher when compared to their peers without disabilities. And while nutrition and physical activity are cornerstones of healthy living, people with disabilities face many barriers when accessing health promotion programs in their communities. Some of these barriers can be categorized as personal barriers, and then also environmental barriers, which is what our study really focuses on. Things like the built environment, as well as the social environment. And then, of course, not being able to access health promotion programs in the community really can lead to different chronic and secondary conditions. This was a study by Dr. Rimmer that looked at youth with cerebral palsy and spina bifida. He categorized them as overweight and obese or healthy weight. And while you can see, regardless of weight category, these conditions are quite high considering that they are their youth. But I did want to highlight just a few. So for those who are categorized as overweight and obese, the prevalence of pressure sores was quite high, just over 30%. Early maturation and precocious puberty, you can see, is just over 20%. Depression rates are really high, about 28%, and then hypertension. And then this combination of an existing disability, the barriers to improve health, poor health outcomes, and then just poor overall life outcomes, such as increased dependence on activities of daily living, high healthcare costs, decreases in community participation. So not only just things like employment, but also things we often take for granted, like going out to dinner with our friends, and then a lower quality of life. And then on that issue, improving health and access to healthcare, it's not just an issue of improving health, but really is a human rights and social justice issue. And so these quotes are from some of the focus groups that we conducted in the development of the grades. The youth and young adults compared their situations to the civil rights movement in the 60s and segregation against African Americans. They also reported being scared off when trying to access community gyms because of their disability. And then, also being segregated in PE, doing push-ups in front of the lunch lady. So that brings us to the purpose of our study. It's really trying to figure out, how do we get over these barriers? How do we improve access to health promotion programs for individuals with disabilities? And so as Dr. Rimmer had stated, the purpose of our study really was to make existing and future health promotion programs inclusive of individuals with disabilities, with the idea that if you can adapt an existing or future evidence-based program that's geared for the general population, for people with disabilities, it's more sustainable and cost-effective, but then again, also the crux of it is that people with disabilities should be included with their peers without disabilities. So with that, I'm going to get into the methodology. Here we have our team. As Dr. Rimmer stated, right, some of this stuff happened simultaneously, so we needed to develop the framework to adapt the health promotion guidelines or programs. And then along with that, Dr. Rimmer had chosen the CDC's 24 obesity prevention strategies. These are all based around physical activity and nutrition, and they were published in 2009 and are still being used across the United States in communities to improve health. As you stated, we worked with Ian Graham, who is a leading expert in guideline adaptation and implementation. And with his help, we developed this framework, which is three phases, multiple steps within each phase. And I'm going to highlight just some of them just for the sake of time. But if you have any questions afterwards, of course, you can contact us, and we're more than happy to give you more information about it. So really, the first step was to identify the guidelines of interest. And so, again, this is something that anyone can do. But as Dr. Moore said, we chose the CDC's obesity prevention strategies. So while the obesity prevention strategies, there's 24 of them, we have what we call 18 grades, or they call them strategies, we call them guidelines. So we combine some of the strategies, and so that's why we have 18 versus 24. But all 24 are represented within the 18. The next step was to convene an expert panel. And so in this case, we had 21 experts that all had a background in disability, some area of health promotion, but then also in the four areas that we were interested in, which was nutrition, physical activity, making sure that they were culturally relevant and sensitive, and then policy. So each of the 21 experts were broken up into one of four work groups, which was headed by a chair. So for the culture group, Yolanda Suarez-Balcazar was the chair. For the nutrition group, we had Linda Bandini, and then Karen Lucan for the physical activity group, and Charles Drum for the policy group. Dr. Rimmer talked a little bit about the criteria that we used. This was on the, in the blue sheet is the agreed to criteria. So we use those at the very beginning of this process to examine the CDC strategies to make sure basically that they were of really good quality. But then the expert panel decided that we also needed criteria that were a little bit more disability specific, because this was about adapting them to be inclusive of people with disabilities. So they came up with 15 additional criteria, most of which fit into one of the six domains. And then there was one extra domain of inclusion. So these were used not only at the beginning, but also in the review process. So that brings us to the actual development of the grades. The first step was to conduct a scoping review of each individual grade separately. So we did 18 different scoping reviews. We looked at the literature, both gray and white literature, extracted the information from that literature about people with disabilities and even some evidence just about the general population. We documented it in what we call a shadow document, and then with that information, we created our draft grade. And so this is just an example of the draft grade. You can see the overarching guideline at the very top, the guideline, and then the corresponding CDC strategy. Now, to develop the draft grade, all of the recommendations were broken up into five different domains. We had the equipment domain, instruction, services, built environment, and policy. So all areas we thought were really important to make a program inclusive. From there, we had many different systems or processes that helped us as far as making sure that the process was consistent throughout and across grades and work groups. From there, we held focus groups with individuals with disabilities, and then we also held separate focus groups with the family members and caregivers of individuals with disabilities. We collected information from them about their experiences with health promotion in the community. We incorporated that into the draft grade, and then from there, we would have lots and lots of phone calls. I hate talking on the phone, and I had a lot of phone calls. No offense, Glenn. It's always a nice, weird voice, and Amy. But so depending on the grade, so if it was a physical activity grade, we would start with the physical activity group. They would review the grade, make recommendations and edits. We would incorporate those changes, and then the nutrition group would get the grade. They would go through it, review it, edit it, Then it would go to culture and then policy. Again, lots of different processes to make sure across groups and grades that we were maintaining the same methods and procedures. From there, for the finalization, which is the third phase, at the end of each year, we would have a certain amount of grades that we had done. And so we would have an in-phase consensus meeting with the expert panel. They would come together, meet in Birmingham, Alabama. They would review the grade one last time, and then they would do a formal vote. If the grades passed, then they would go on to the next step and be reviewed one last time by different stakeholders and external experts. And then from there, the grades will be reviewed by the CDC, the original guideline developers, and we assume that we'll get their endorsements, and then release them for use by the public in different programs and organizations. So here's just an example of a finished grade, a little bit cleaned up. And then, so some of the different dissemination methods that people will be able to access our grades. Obviously, we'll have a website with all the information about how we've gone about the process, but then the product, which is the 18 grades. And Dr. Rimmer touched on the knowledge to action cycle. So we were fortunate enough, again, to work with Ian Graham and Margaret Campbell, Margaret Harrison, who were the authors of the knowledge to action cycle, and then also the CAN implement. Basically, the knowledge to action cycle are the steps that a group would go through in order to implement the grades. And then the CAN implement is the Canadian original version of implementation of different guidelines. And so we were fortunate to work with them, and they're allowing us to adapt it for the grades. So we've called it the ICAN implement grades. And it's basically the manual that will take you through the whole knowledge to action cycle, and it gives you all the different tools and instruments that you will need in order to implement the grades. Almost the dummy's guide for implementation of the grades. So it's really exciting, so those are our next steps that we're looking forward to working on.
That is it.